Hello and welcome. I'm Dandy Zhu, and you're listening to Digital Health Forward, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of healthcare entrepreneurs, leaders, and executives who are moving the digital health industry forward. Today's episode, I had a chance to chat with Vijay Kedar, co-founder and CEO of Tomorrow Health. Tomorrow Health is a technology-driven healthcare company changing the way individuals and families manage healthcare at home. They've partnered with over 125 health insurers and provider organizations to coordinate and deliver home-based care for their members. In this episode, Vijay and I chat about how his experiences managing his mother's cancer care led him to start Tomorrow Health, the home healthcare market and what has driven unprecedented growth, the uniqueness of healthcare market structures and what it means to change the healthcare system from within, the importance of marrying innovation with distribution, and much, much more. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome to the show, Vijay. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited to learn more from you about Tomorrow Health. As you know, I have a few friends who've worked there and had amazing experiences. And you came to visit HBS, I think, last year. And I think everyone in the healthcare club was really excited about what you guys are doing. So really looking forward to hearing more about your story and the impact that you guys are having in the DME space and home health.
Likewise. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. Well, wanted to start hearing just a bit more about you and where you were before Tomorrow Health. I know you were at Goldman for a little bit, and then you also joined Oscar Health in the early days. So share with us a little bit about your journey.
Absolutely. So in many ways, I grew up in the healthcare world. I was born into a big family of physicians. Often like to say I was pre-med coming out of the womb, but initially started my career investing in healthcare, as you noted. It was at Goldman Sachs and their private equity arm, investing in healthcare tech and services businesses for a number of years. And then in 2014, I had the opportunity to join Oscar Health, early days in the company's history. I joined the company when Oscar was a few dozen team members sitting around two conference room tables in the Puck building in New York. And by the time I left, we were up to 1,500 across the team and driving $1 billion in premium revenue. Over the time there, I had the opportunity to wear a number of different hats, initially helped drive the company's strategy and finance efforts at the national level, supported our insurance plan design and pricing efforts, supported a couple rounds of fundraising with our co-founders, and then as part of a focus on growth strategy, moved down to Dallas, started and launched the company's Texas division as general manager, which we were able to grow into Oscar's largest state division, covering 100,000 Texans for coverage across three markets. And then from there, came back to New York and drove tenets of the company's clinical strategy nationally, from launching a complex case management program to oversee the care of our top 1% sickest and most challenged members, to driving a range of innovations around transitioning healthcare to the home. And ultimately, it was a personal experience that I'd had managing my mother's care, which was the inspiration to leave to ultimately start Tomorrow Health.
Could you share a little bit more about that story and the genesis there with your mom, if you're willing to share?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, about a week after I had started my job at Oscar, my mother was diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer. And fortunately, she's doing very well now and in remission, but like many, had a difficult journey through it. She spent about 4 months inpatient in the ICU, nearly 3 months on a ventilator battling lung disease. And after what was an incredibly challenging and trying couple of months in the hospital, she came home to what would be a year of very intensive home-based healthcare. She needed a wide range of medical equipment, supplies, and services, from 14 liters of oxygen to ostomy and wound care supplies, mobility and respiratory equipment, physical and respiratory therapy. And I will say, despite being in the healthcare industry, despite coming from a family of physicians, I just could not have imagined how challenging that process would be to manage and coordinate. We were guided by our insurer to work with nearly a dozen different home-based care vendors. I was driving out to what felt like smaller mom-and-pop shops off the side of the highway with equipment scattered everywhere. And there was just very little guidance or support to navigate the process as a patient or as a family member. I'd have a prescription, for example, for a CPAP machine that just said CPAP on it. Turns out there's two dozen types of CPAP machines. What someone with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease needs is very different than someone with sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And yet very little guidance to navigate that process. All in for us, it took us about 6 weeks to get everything she needed. And unfortunately, wow, we had to readmit her back to the hospital twice during that first month. And so incredibly disruptive to her care and really just eye-opening as to the status quo in home-based care. And interestingly, from that experience, I came back to my role at Oscar and I saw a lot of the same challenges, but from the health plan's vantage point, found that in every market we launched, we had to contract with hundreds of local home-based care suppliers, and that leading our care management efforts, I'd be borrowing the phone from a nurse case manager and engaging with and coordinating with a wide range of these local suppliers to get patients the equipment or services that they need for us to safely discharge them from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was pretty quickly an increasing cost pain point, a top five member experience challenge. And ultimately, it opened my eyes to the fact that while so many of us across the healthcare ecosystem believe in the shift of care to the home, we as an ecosystem did not have the infrastructure to enable home-based care reliably and at scale.
Right.
And that's ultimately what we've been working to build at Tomorrow Health.
I think it's really exciting to see that infrastructure that you guys are building and also that we're aligning a set incentives right across these different stakeholders while still creating value for the patient. I think that's the ultimate goal for a lot of healthcare companies these days, but it's much easier said than done. I think before we dive into what has been built and the impact that Tomorrow Health has had, I'd love to share a little bit more context around the overall home health space and what we're seeing in durable medical equipment and some of those core problems that you started to mention from the health plan's perspective, but also from, you know, the patient caregiver perspective and everyone else. I saw a statistic that was staggering around total home health spend in the US having risen to $10 billion, which is a 30% increase, I think, from just 5 years ago. And that's projected to continue to increase to over $186 billion by 2027. And we know that many of these drivers include things like our aging baby boomer population, many of which elect now to age in place rather than wanting to go to a nursing home. And we also know that home health services have proven to improve patient outcomes while keeping costs down in a lower cost setting. So I think all of these trends are accelerating what we're seeing care delivery moving into the home setting, especially with COVID really giving patients no other choice, right? But from your perspective, working on the front lines and seeing this evolve over the last couple of years, what are some of the insights you have in terms of people's general attitudes or understanding of home-based healthcare? And how do we anticipate that continuing to change in the years to come?
It's a fantastic question, Dandy. And just as you noted, the tailwinds towards home-based care were present long before COVID-19. It was by far a patient preference to age at home, especially among the senior population. Given the overarching shift to value-based care, the home is by far the highest value side of care. Treating a patient's care at home for certain chronic conditions is less than 1/10 the cost of doing so at the hospital. And in many ways, even prior to COVID, as we continued to see this unbundling of care over the last decade from integrated hospital systems that had vertically and horizontally integrated over the decades prior towards a more distributed form of care, where care was being performed and guided towards the most appropriate, highest value sites of care, I think we first saw the shift of care from acute care settings to post-acute. Mm-hmm. And we saw a boom across SNFs, LTACs, and other forms of skilled care in a post-acute setting. And then increasingly have been seeing post-acute either be skipped for home-based healthcare or accelerated towards the home. And so the combination of all these factors has really driven that preference and orientation towards home-based healthcare. As you noted, though, there's no question that COVID accelerated that trend. You know, all of a sudden, in a matter of weeks, you had 300 million Americans suddenly homebound, 7 out of 10 that were managing a chronic condition. But all of a sudden, without the traditional access to the retail care or acute care that they once had, no one would dare step into a hospital unless they had to, given the concerns around contracting COVID-19. And so it really laid bare the cracks in the existing home-based care system, the lack of an effective home-based care supply chain, with most products and resources oriented towards retail healthcare settings, the lack of effective engagement of patients in the home and in digital or remote capacities, and then the opportunities to reorient that care delivery ecosystem towards the home. And I think one of the most exciting trends that we've seen is really the embrace of that shift by incumbent stakeholders, by payers and providers. And for many of the payers that we work with, we've seen very quickly home-based healthcare become a top one or two priority. And really looking from CEOs and chief medical officers on down to really reorient their care delivery networks towards the home, looking for scalable solutions and partners that would enable them to navigate that transition for their patients and bringing the critical infrastructure and resources to do that. And that's ultimately what we've done at Tomorrow Health. Today, we're fortunate to be partnered with over 125 health plans and provider organizations at the regional and national levels to help coordinate and manage home-based healthcare, with a core focus around the medical equipment and supplies that patients need. We've been able to drive tremendous results in the quality of care, achieving an over 95 NPS score across the breadth of patients we've served, something that is certainly unique in a complex and challenged industry like ours, but also driving material value to our health plan partners, to our providers, to the DME suppliers in our marketplace, and of course, most critically, to the patients that we serve.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time to see it become such a top priority for these health plans. I'm sure that's been exciting from a partnership perspective to be sort of front and center to one of your partner strategies as well. In terms of the DME piece, you know, I know it's a very fast growing market itself, and of course, a core component of delivering the home-based healthcare that these patients need once they're discharged from the hospitals. As you mentioned, if you don't get that part right, you don't have the right equipment at home, you could also face readmission to the hospital. There's a lot of downstream implications as well on both cost and outcomes. When we think about each of these stakeholders in the ecosystem, maybe we start with payers, but what did you feel like were some of the core challenges when you started talking and having these partnership conversations? Was it around selecting the right cost quality suppliers, or was there something, were there other challenges you guys were prioritizing to solve?
I think first and foremost, it was payers recognizing that this was a component of their care delivery networks that had been unmanaged, unoptimized, and really unfocused for some time. As they had thought about priorities and as they had thought about different efforts to streamline components of care delivery, home-based care was becoming an increasing priority and then accelerated into a core preeminent priority. And as a result, it pushed them to really look at some of these components and pillars of the home, whether it was the products that patients need and the critical home medical equipment and supplies, the clinical services, as well as the remote monitoring and virtual care. And I think what they were finding is increasingly that while they were vested with the opportunity to contract and coordinate these networks, that they didn't really have much control over the quality or the efficiency of care that was being delivered. And that was something that was really becoming absolutely critical given the shift of care to the home. I think the second dynamic that we noticed was a recognition of the role that these tenets of home-based healthcare could play towards impacting total cost of care. No longer seeing the home as just a post-acute setting, cleaving off a couple of days of an inpatient stay to get somebody to home faster, but really starting to think about the home as a pre-acute setting, an opportunity to prevent that readmission, or even more importantly, the initial admission in the first place, and thinking about how we could coordinate the breadth of products and services towards the home. And so it was ultimately recognizing that there was opportunity for greater reliability and efficiency in their networks, but also recognizing that they weren't going to do it themselves, that it was an esoteric and complex space, that bringing on a partner that brought the right set of resources from the technology to coordinate each of the interactions for patients who needed equipment and supplies, to manage and streamline, and critically to add value to the network of suppliers that they operated with, and then ultimately to do so with a deeply patient-oriented focus to drive that tremendous patient satisfaction, and ultimately to keep patients healthy and safe at home, were what we've found partners most attracted to. And as we've launched with partners like, for example, Geisinger Health Plan earlier this year, Tomorrow Health now coordinates and manages their network for equipment and supplies across their over 500,000 members. We've seen those tremendous results. We've seen the opportunity to partner with thousands of physicians and hospitals, hundreds of home-based care suppliers, and then really to serve a really wide breadth of patients and their families to deliver higher value and higher quality healthcare at home.
In the early days, when you had this vision that you were going to help solve, you know, many of these challenges we're seeing from an infrastructure perspective, and you're thinking about building this marketplace, how did you start thinking about the business model and where to start, I guess? Did you know that health plans were the people that you wanted to partner with, or how did you think about the user versus the customer, I guess, and the partnerships and all of that?
Yeah. You know, we have a value at Tomorrow Health called change the system from within. And it really reflects two tenets of our philosophy of innovating in healthcare. The first is you have to embrace the complexities of the ecosystem, the nuances, the incentive structures, and the dynamics of how healthcare operates. And while we take in lessons and parallels from other industries, recognizing in many ways some of this unique singularity around how these markets are structured and operate in healthcare. But the second piece of it is the importance of marrying innovation with distribution. I've always believed that it's not that hard to create a better product in healthcare. Candidly, most of the products are pretty subpar. The challenge is getting those higher quality products to scale and earning the right to serve a wider base of patients. And so all of us in the healthcare ecosystem know that the you know, while it's so critical to put the patient at the core of everything we do, we need to unlock value for other stakeholders. And for us, it's aligning our focus and our interests and unlocking value for the other stakeholders that have distribution. Mm. And that we think about that really as all players across the ecosystem. It is payers in providing and expanding value that we can drive and coordinating and managing their members' needs for equipment and supplies. It's critically with the home-based care suppliers that we work with, recognizing that it's a breadth of very fragmented landscape, some very large companies and a myriad of very small companies, with the vast majority of the industry comprised of suppliers that drive less than $5 million in revenue. Many of these smaller businesses operating without the ability to invest scalably in technology or technology-enabled operations. And the opportunity for us to bring that layer of software and technology-enabled efficiency to operate their businesses more effectively and to enable them to deliver higher quality outcomes for patients, which is ultimately what these businesses are focused on. And then critically for the referring physicians and hospitals that we work with, giving them a streamlined opportunity to coordinate and manage healthcare outside of the four walls of their office or the hospital, reducing the burden of time it takes for them to manage and process those orders, and giving them an unprecedented level of visibility and engagement for the care that's happening at home. So more specifically to your question, in some ways, all of these value propositions developed by treating each of these stakeholders truly as customers. Mm-hmm. And you know, in the first year of building the business, I had literally thousands of conversations with patients and families like mine and like ours, sitting with dozens of discharge managers. They were clicking through the EMR to order equipment and supplies, meeting with home-based care suppliers, manufacturers, distributors, and then critically insurers and many insurance executives. And from really unpacking the ecosystem, recognizing that problems existed on all sides of it, and that through a streamlined technology-enabled solution that brought efficiency and transparency to the space, we could actually unlock value for each of these partners. And that's what we've ultimately done through our model at Tomorrow Health.
That makes a ton of sense. As we fast forward to today, can you walk us through a little bit more tactically how the platform works? What exactly happens when a patient is about to be discharged? You know, who's doing what, and then what happens? What does that experience look like?
Absolutely. I'll discuss it in the case of a patient that we were fortunate to serve fairly recently. Our first value as a company is to fight like hell for patients. And every week at our all hands, we talk about a specific patient story. And increasingly recently, we've actually played a recording of a call between patients and members of our care advocate team that support our patients and families. And I will say it's just every week, it is just so deeply grounding as to why we do the work that we do, and brings that always to the forefront across our organization. And this past week, it was a patient that we served that had a wide range of home-based care needs, that was being discharged from the hospital on about 6 liters of oxygen, that needed mobility support. They had spent a couple of weeks inpatient in the hospital. And so they needed support and physical therapy and getting back on their feet. They were coming off of a surgery, so they needed wound care supplies and wound care therapy. And critically, they needed guidance. It was also a Medicaid patient, and it was a patient that had lower levels of healthcare literacy. They had actually not had insurance prior to their current health plan engagement. And so it was really the opportunity to leverage support in a number of different areas. And typically for a patient like that, they would unfortunately so commonly fall through the cracks. They would be guided by a referring physician to, you know, what would ultimately be potentially a myriad of different home-based care providers to coordinate these needs. It would often take days or weeks to get the equipment or support that they needed, and oftentimes without a tremendous amount of visibility or education. In the case of this patient, the workflow was very different. The referring physician placed the order for the equipment and supplies the patient needed directly to Tomorrow Health. We leveraged a set of data-driven algorithms to match that order with the highest value and most appropriate supplier across the network. And then we worked with that supplier to ensure that the patient had everything they needed, from navigating their insurance benefits to ensuring the combination of equipment and supplies that they needed, and having that level of engagement and visibility to streamline that order to ultimately get that patient served the same day with the full breadth of equipment that they needed. And then providing that additional personalized layer of support through our team of care advocates who worked with the patient and his wife, in this case, over the course of the following week to not only ensure that they had the right products when they needed them upon the patient's discharge from the hospital, but in the days that ensued, to ensure that they knew how to use them. When there are questions to troubleshoot on how to set the oxygen settings, particularly when he was going to sleep, or how to manage the wound care supplies that were coming through, or how to use the Rollator that he was using for the first time for his physical therapy. Our care advocates were there responsibly to support this journey and ultimately to get this patient back on his feet. And so in that way, the platform really connects a range of critical stakeholders needed to ensure that patients get the critical and, in some cases, life-saving equipment and supplies they need to manage that critical transition home.
It's amazing and super inspirational. Thank you so much for sharing that, and makes it feel very tangible, right? When we hear a story like that and can visualize loved ones, people that we know who have gone through this process, and how that could be dramatically improved with something like Tomorrow Health's platform. Could you tell us a little bit more about the broader vision of Tomorrow Health? I know in the beginning, even there was this overall ambition to expand beyond just DME and broader into home health. What's the latest thinking there?
Our vision as a business has always been to restore the home as a patient's primary point of care. And we do so as a marketplace to coordinate the breadth of the products, the supplies, and the resources that patients need. And as we think about really unlocking the scope of that care, it's leveraging the infrastructure and the assets we've built in partnership to expand the scope of services that we can deliver. You know, a critical piece of our model is recognizing that there's ultimately two ways to innovate in care delivery. And the first is bringing de novo supply into the market. But the second is recognizing that there's an opportunity to harness and enhance the existing supply that exists in the market, right? And today in home-based care, we have over 32,000 home-based care providers across the country. We are unfortunately in the midst of a nursing shortage and repurposing of a wide range of care professionals towards home-based care. And it's ultimately our belief that rather than focusing on ultimately kind of spinning up new or competitive supply in the market, that we should really focus on how can we harness the existing capabilities that exist and enable these existing suppliers to operate their businesses more efficiently and at greater scale. And so when we think about that broader vision of home-based care, it's really unlocking that surface area expansion through partnership, expanding beyond the pillars of what we've developed in medical equipment and supplies to partner with companies and organizations that are delivering high-quality healthcare services, that are delivering remote patient monitoring and tenets of virtual care, coordinating those efforts in a synchronized platform to provide a single trusted solution for a patient, and ultimately to provide the solution that we would have ultimately wanted for my mother, that for the breadth of her home-based care needs, from the equipment, the 14 liters of oxygen, the supplies, the respiratory therapist coming towards her home, the pulse oximeter device, monitoring her oxygen saturation levels, that all of that could be coordinated through one singular platform, managed across a multitude of high quality and high value providers and suppliers, but coordinated through one platform and critically all embedded within her insurance benefits, such that she could remain safe and healthy at home in an affordable and coordinated manner.
When we think about continuing to provide value and helping these suppliers do their job even better and more efficiently, what are some of those big top of mind priorities in the next year or two, or the big gaps still that we're seeing that they need?
There's really a number that come to mind. The first is recognizing, I'll take our current focus around equipment and supplies, that it's a really complex space to operate in. It's an area where there's over 3,500 Medicare HCPCS billing codes. There's over 100,000 product SKUs. There's variation in plan designs and benefit coverage across thousands of different insurers. And so recognizing that operating in this space for an average supplier is really challenging. It requires managing across millions of permutations of data collection from clinical and administrative data points. It requires managing a complex set of logistics with a wide and complex bundle of SKUs to meet a particular patient's needs with varying, you know, margin capabilities and different product attributes. And then, of course, finding a way to deliver excellent care and guidance to patients. And ultimately, for our supplier partners, we really focus on streamlining every piece of that, from enabling them to have clean and streamlined orders, digitizing and managing the complexity of the ecosystem on their behalf, so they can focus their attention in a higher efficiency way towards delivering that level of patient care, supporting them in navigating the variations of insurance reimbursement to be able to have higher collections and deliver and serve more patients. And then ultimately providing them with the resources, whether it's materials or guidance or support, to ultimately deliver that higher standard of patient care. And critically, we provide for the suppliers that we work with an unprecedented level of visibility, data-driven visibility into their performance, into network benchmarks, into everything from patient satisfaction levels to operational reliability metrics, to ultimately enable them to enhance their operations more effectively. And we do so at no cost, because ultimately we believe that democratizing some of these tools and technology will improve all stakeholders and ultimately serve the customers that we serve and ultimately drive greater value for patients. So those are the critical ones that come to mind. And the other I'd note is we know one of the biggest challenges when we think about coordination in healthcare is around interoperability. And so really focusing on integrations and mirroring wherever possible existing provider or supplier workflows to be able to facilitate that greater level of adoption and make their work easier, integrated within existing systems and much more coordinated and seamless than a disjointed set of processes, which too often is the case today.
I know attribution is always a tough challenge in healthcare in general, but have you guys been able to track the impact on specific health outcomes or cost of care or patient experience? Or how do you guys think about some of those metrics and how Tomorrow Health's platform is contributing?
We think about it in a range of different capacities. I think first and foremost is really the criticality of taking a step back and recognizing where there are some of the biggest opportunities to add value. And when we think about it from a total cost of care standpoint, it's really about how can you keep patients healthy and safe at home, and recognizing that if somebody doesn't get the oxygen they need on time, they're going to have to spend an extra night in the hospital. Or if they get the ventilator, the BiPAP machine, but it's not fitted appropriately, they don't know how to use it, they're going to have to come back to the hospital. also recognizing that as you think about ongoing chronic care management, that the way we bundle the right products and resources that patients need, and we monitor that usage to ensure that there's effective adherence, is ultimately some of the biggest levers that we have to ultimately manage the overall value of care that's delivered. And so by actually getting into the weeds on a lot of these tenets of the workflow, we have the opportunity to really deliver that value. And we've seen the results in spades. We've seen with our payer partners the ability to not only drive direct value, but also holistic value from a total cost of care standpoint, to ultimately keep patients safer and healthy at home through a number of the avenues that I've mentioned. And in doing so, to enable them to not only prevent that readmission, but to prevent that initial admission, which is such a core focus of ours in ultimately restoring the home as that primary point of care.
Makes sense. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk about some softer things. So we did see an amazing world-class team of advisors and colleagues and investors that Tomorrow Health has assembled. And I'd love to hear from your perspective as CEO and founder, you know, how you've approached recruiting and building a culture and what sort of guides you there.
As it relates to our team, there's really two things that I would note. You know, I think the first is the importance of grounding alignment around core set of values. And especially, you know, as we, as so many other companies, have been forced to scale teams remotely in a remote dynamic, having that grounding and that level of alignment from a cultural standpoint is just so powerful. And it's something that we did very, very early on at Tomorrow Health, is really sitting down and codifying our values. What were our beliefs about the way that we need to work together, the way that we need to treat our stakeholders, the way that we need to collaborate to deliver the ambitious vision that we have? And it's resulted in our core values, some of which I've referenced earlier, to fight like hell for patients, to report to the goal, to change the system from within, mm-hmm. to aim high and dream big, to do more with less. And this was something that was very powerful early on, because we were very public and very open about those values. We put them on every job description. We put them on our website. They were included in our greenhouse links and in interview questions. We involved them in our weekly shout outs for team members every week. They're involved in our performance management and promotion guidelines. And so we've been able to attract folks that really align with our mission, that are deeply driven by the outcomes we can drive for patients. And ultimately, the recognition that, you know, changing an ecosystem like healthcare is hard, and it requires grit, and it requires resilience, and it requires collaboration. And so that's really the first tenet that I'd say that's been really powerful. And the second is, as we've built out our leadership team, we've really looked for three things. The first is those that had seen scale, because our vision is not to serve a 100,000 patients or a million patients, but to serve 100 million patients and to enable our innovation to get to distribution, as I'd referenced earlier. The second is those that were domain experts in areas both in and outside of healthcare. And the third is those that were ultimately builders at heart. And we've been able to bring together an exceptional group of folks. Ro Arvelo, our COO, came to us after a number of years at Uber, where he was an early executive. He was the first employee on the ground in Latin America, built that business from the ground up into a $12 billion P&L, managing a team of 4,000, was tapped and then led Uber Eats across all of EMEA. He's an absolute expert in building tech-enabled marketplaces at scale. Mm-hmm. Krishna, our head of engineering, brings 25 years of engineering experience, the last decade at Amazon. Shivani, our head of marketing, was sub 100 at Flatiron Health and led all of their provider marketing efforts across the board. And Kevin Rath, our head of customer experience, was employed 20 at Warby Parker, scaled over a decade to lead a team of 1,200, reporting to Warby's CEO, and now leads customer experience at Tomorrow Health. So in that sense, really bringing in folks that had that deep knowledge and grounding in the healthcare industry and building solution software and product for healthcare stakeholders, but also those with perspectives outside the industry on how to build and scale tech-enabled marketplaces like ours and deliver market-leading customer experience and satisfaction. And the last thing I'd note is we've really thought about our team very broadly. And we today think of that as including not only the exceptional folks that we bring that come into work every day at Tomorrow Health, but also our base of advisors. And we've been fortunate to bring a range of industry luminaries and executives towards our mission. Folks like Trevor Fetter, former CEO at Tenet Healthcare, which was one of the earliest advisors at Tomorrow Health. Beth Bierbauer and Roy Beveridge, former segment president, chief medical officer at Humana. Phyllis Yale, board member at Blue Cross of Massachusetts and Bristol-Myers Squibb. Trent Haywood, former chief medical officer of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Steve Nelson, the former CEO of United Healthcare. Alan Murray, the current CEO of Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield. And then on the policy side, Paul Mango, who led McKinsey's healthcare department for a number of decades, and Eric Hargan, the deputy secretary of Health and Human Services, all of which who have been absolutely instrumental in guiding our strategy, enabling us to engage with new partners. And I'd say for many companies, advisors are names on a page, but for us, these are folks that I engage with on a weekly or biweekly basis. They're deeply involved in our strategy, in our partnerships. They come to dinners with us, with health plan executives. They help us to develop our strategic direction. And it's one of the things that has been so powerful, where in an industry like healthcare, where there's high barriers to entry, where there are institutional factors that are really critical, to really have that broader team and ecosystem to unlock a tremendous amount of value and to do so at scale.
Wow, that is an incredible lineup. And I think a lot of what you said around finding those people who are really aligned to the values and motivated by the mission really resonates. And it's just incredible to see the team that's come together to work on this problem. Last question. I know we're running out of time a little bit, but any parting words of advice for our listeners who are also hoping to be entrepreneurs, become CEOs one day, hopefully also build something as incredible as Tomorrow Health has?
You know, I think the first that I would say is just the utmost importance of always putting the patient first. And recognizing that in a complex system like healthcare, it's just easy to lose sight of that. And that's why in so many ways we have ended up with what is somewhat a disjointed and challenged experience for patients, because the system hasn't been built most times with patients' best interests in mind. And so starting with that patient experience, starting with that patient journey, and unpacking from there to identify those real opportunities to drive change. I think the second is, I've always believed healthcare is an industry where you can't build great technology on top of broken infrastructure. You really have to do the work of rebuilding that infrastructure. And that means, as we've referenced earlier, diving into the complexity of the system, really, really engaging with stakeholders and all of their needs and embracing what can often be initially a daunting challenge, but towards laying that new infrastructure that will ultimately drive remarkably better outcomes and enable those outcomes to scale. And then the third piece is really having grit and resilience. I think for any founder journey in any industry, that is absolutely paramount. But an industry like healthcare, where it is oftentimes recalcitrant to change, that is really, really critical. And I think so many of us have learned that over this past year and a half. I remember we actually accelerated our company launch at the onset of the pandemic by a couple of months because we saw the tremendous amount of need for home-based healthcare from the patients we were serving, from the payer partners that we were engaged with. And our team came together in just a really tremendous way to bring that to life. And I think it's an example of the resilience that is necessary to drive meaningful change in this industry for all those that we care about. So I must say, having got into digital health nearly a decade ago, it's been an absolutely inspiring to see the tremendous amount of innovation that we're seeing across the ecosystem, the complexity of problems that entrepreneurs are tackling, and the embrace of incumbents towards innovation and towards partnerships at scale. And I'm very excited to see all of that continue with a generation of change makers as we go forward.
Me too. Very well said. And well, thank you so much, Vijay, for sharing your insights, educating us on home health, DME, and all things Tomorrow Health and what you guys are building. We're really excited to follow the journey to come.
Thank you so much, Dandy. It was an absolute pleasure.